Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
The Apostle Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. And we as preachers are commanded to tell people what this Word says, and then have everyone turn there and read it for themselves, see it with their own two eyes. This morning, I want to preach the Word. I want us to look at many scriptures throughout this message. So I encourage you, if you have a Bible handy, open it with me to John 17, and let's look at these things together. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know correct doctrine." Now, if you have your Bible open, you'll see with your own two eyes that I didn't read that correctly. That's not what it says. "And this is life eternal, that they might know how to live correctly." That's not what it says. Here's what it says. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." That is life eternal. Paul said, "that I may know Him." You know, a person can know a lot of things. A lot of things. A lot of religious things. A lot of moral things. But Paul said, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." What does it mean to truly know Him? You know, I know the president. I know who he is. I've seen him on TV. I know what he looks like. I've heard what he said. I can quote him. And I acknowledge that he is my president. But if I walk up to the front doors of the White House, are they going to let me in? Now, if the First Lady walks up to the front doors, are they going to let her in? I know him. She knows him. What's the difference? She has a personal relationship with him. Paul said, "Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." Now listen to this question. Can a person know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner? Can a person know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner? My mother had cancer years ago, and the Lord chose to take her through that cancer. My mother was a nurse, and she fully understood the method and the procedures that needed to be undertaken for her to be healed of her cancer. She understood every bit of that. Was she healed? No. What's my point? Doctrine cannot save anybody. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Doctrine cannot save anybody. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Somebody's going to say, "Well, you can't separate the two." And I agree. We're going to see that in the Word. But it is Christ who leads men and women to correct doctrine. And it is not correct doctrine that leads men and women to Christ. All right, now let's look at this. What is doctrine? What do the Scriptures say about doctrine? Well, the definition of the word doctrine is something received. It's something heard. It's an announcement, instruction, and learning. That's what the word means. Something received, something heard, an announcement, instruction, learning. Now, knowing that, let's see what the word has to say about doctrine. If you have your Bible open, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at the first two verses together. Deuteronomy 32 verse 1 says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." His words. Correct doctrine is the words of Christ Himself. Not what I think about the words of Christ Himself. It's not man's doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ. The words of the Savior Himself, as He speaks them into your ear and into my ear, is correct doctrine. It's a correct hearing. It's the correct announcement. Now, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and again, we're going to look at the first two verses. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. You know, a person says, "Well, I got my doctrine right." Or he's got his doctrine right. He's got his thinking straight. Well, if it's my doctrine, then it's all wrong. If it's my doctrine, it's all wrong. Because the Lord God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." The all-important question for me is this: have I heard the voice of Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. How much theology did that thief on the cross really know? How much theology did the thief on the cross really know? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7, and let's read verses 24 to 29. Matthew 7, 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." What that means is they heard the voice of experience. And they didn't just hear about the experience. They heard Christ. They didn't just hear about Christ. Now, these scriptures, they were written by men who were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved. with personal conviction. When Isaiah said, "Woe is me," he felt that. He meant that. And the scribes were men who just copied the scriptures over so that we would still have them today. They just copied over secondhand information. And it says here that he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Our Lord illustrated that fact in Matthew 16. If you're turning with me, turn over to Matthew 16 and let's look at verses 5 to 12. It says, "When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." What he's saying is, anytime a man says, "Well, this is what I think Christ means. This is what I think he's saying," rather than just announcing what the Lord Jesus Christ said, beware. Beware. A little leaven. Leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is man. Leaven is the flesh. Leaven is pride, self. It may sound like the doctrine of Christ. It may sound like the words of Christ, but is it? Is it? The words of Jesus Christ are our true doctrine. He is our doctrine. All right, now turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 23 to 30. Matthew 22, 23 to 30 says this. "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the 7th. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." What he's saying is, you're getting hung up on something that is not the issue. It's not the issue. But I'll tell you what the issue is. He goes on to say in verse 31, "As touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." What the scripture is proving to us is correct doctrine is only the words of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now let's turn over to Mark 11, and we're going to read verses 15 to 18. It says this, "And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." They didn't fear him for his thought process. They feared him for his voice. He has his thinking right. Well, has he ever experienced the fear of the voice of God? That's the question. Now let's look at John chapter 7, verses 14 to 17, say this. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Now, here's a question. What is the will of the Father? He said, if any man do his will, you'll know whether the doctrine be of God or whether I speak of myself. What is the will of the Father? In Mark 9, verse 7, he said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear his voice. Hear his commandment. Hear his instruction." All right, now turn to John 18. Verses 19 to 21 say this. "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. They know correct doctrine. Their doctrine, their teaching, their voice is merely resounding my words, the words I gave to them." After the Lord Jesus Christ left this world, ascended up into heaven, this world started calling it the apostles' doctrine. This new doctrine, this new teaching, new instruction, new thought process, as though there was more than one. But I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Now, verse 14 says, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." There is only one doctrine. There's only one thing to receive. Doctrine means something received. There's only one thing to hear, one thing to know, and that's the voice, that's the word, the announcement of Jesus Christ. We don't add anything to it, do we? We don't take anything from it, because a little leaven, a little bit of me mixed in, what I think, it'll leaven the whole lump. Now, I want to close by looking at what Paul said to Timothy and to Titus concerning doctrine. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at the first four verses. 1 Timothy 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables. Chapter 4 called it old wives' fables. Titus called them commandments of men, just tradition. Just made it up. Just following them for tradition. You know, if we can't find it in the Scripture, let's not follow it. Well, it says right here, 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. Questions. These questions just bring about strife. Our doctrine is the voice of Jesus Christ. What do we believe? His words. We believe whatever He said. If that's all we hold to, if that's all we believe in, then what's there to argue about? Turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says this, till I come, give attendance to reading the Word of God, to exhortation, exhorting the Word of God, to doctrine, to hearing, receiving, instructing, teaching the Word of God, to doctrine. Chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Just say what the Lord Jesus Christ said and told us to say. And in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Chapter 6, verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Scripture is our doctrine. The Scripture is all we need. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Do it with long-suffering. Do it with doctrine. preach the word. All right, now, Titus chapter 1 says this. A lover of hospitality. Be a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We don't have to get our heads wrapped around some crazy jigsaw puzzle of thinking if our hearts are wrapped around every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the truth. That's the truth. We don't have to get our heads wrapped around some crazy jigsaw puzzle if our hearts are wrapped around every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Doctrine doesn't lead men to Christ. Christ leads men to correct doctrine. Now let me give you one more scripture. 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9 says this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's the title of this message, The Doctrine of Christ. John 17:3 says, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now let me give you an article that was written about 30 years ago. It's called The Difference Between Preaching Christ and Preaching About Christ. It says, Years ago I read the following quote by an unknown author. I can appreciate the ability of the learned botanist to give me the scientific name of a rose, the origin of it, the various types of roses, how and where they grow, and the number of petals, thorns, and leaves to expect on a genuine rose. But too often, those who become overly entangled in these things somehow lose the most important things, the beauty and the fragrance of the rose. I hope in our teaching, preaching, and witnessing concerning the gospel of our dear Savior, we do not become more concerned with the system more than the sweetness, with the mechanics rather than the mercy, with the right terminology rather than the right spirit and attitude. You will soon weary my head if you don't warm my heart. While I am eager to learn more of how, why, and when I came to Christ, I would like to rejoice and enjoy my relationship with Him now. He is my rose of Sharon, which brightens my life and sends His sweet fragrance through my soul. One can preach about Christ and not preach Christ. Just as we can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that Christ loves me. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.